Estate Services, Lavazzi and Boom1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 302. I'm Adam, and with me this week, see if I can remember without having the Skype screen up. Well, that's a difficult thing to say. The Skype screen up. It's Debbie Melrose.
Happy sleep time, everybody.
Mary Lang. Oh. You!
Did you hear a word you said then?
Mary Lang.
No, happy didn't hear that.
Happy to play.
Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
Who wants to see their face in a pair of suede shoes?
And Andy Nanny.
The colony needs you.
I do apologise. I forgot about doing a quote. I feel really bad now.
God, dumb.
But I would have done one if I hadn't fallen asleep.
What, I think we just, so we've better also better do the podcast next week. I think somebody more competent. Can we think of anyone?
I will be doing the podcast next week.
Challenge
in a sort
accepted.
Of
yeah.
In a some I'm sort sure. of way.
I thought Debbie was doing the.
She's recording it. Yes, I will be heavily involved and controlling things somehow.
Ooh, that means you might be like a.
If the technology allows
it's
me to.
Sam just the face of the colony.
He's the face of the controller.
Yes, exactly. You've got it. Well done. This week.
There is no such thing as Adam.
This week. We would have had a show last week, listeners. Stop interrupting! We would have had a show last week, listeners, if certain people could be bothered to turn up to actually record the show.
I would have been available.
So I apologise for the week's delay. I will say there's a few things cropped up since the last time we recorded. I will be joining the team at Sunshine Radio to be on a radio presenter, basically. It's a music radio show. It's a hospital radio. Basically, it's hospital radio at St. Mary's Hospital. So I'll be joining that team, and I'm hoping to rope in Mrs. Melrose when it comes to doing some live shows later on in the year. But if she's not interested, she can bugger off. Sorry?
Show will you be doing?
Just general radio music shows. Just normal radio, is it? Talking, playing music.
Oh, so this is like a regular gig, huh?
Yes. I did tell them about. Oh, they're here, look. I told you they were going to arrive. It's Deborah Pearson!
Yeah. Hey, you forgot about me!
How could anyone possibly forget?
Yeah,
phone
you? Where's my phone, you darling? My phone. Where's my phone?
My phone was in Lynn's
phone's here, look. You told me the phone. You couldn't find your phone, so I rang it.
Oh. Right. Isabella.
Yes, thank you. Right. Isabella has something she wants to say. Go on, Isabella. Get the microphone. Speak. Shut the doors. Pardon? You've forgotten what happened yesterday.
What happened yesterday? I could tell everybody.
No, let her tell us. You naughty, forceful person.
I have become a junior carnival princess.
Well done.
Yay.
Well done, Isabella.
Thank
Brilliant.
You.
And that was great rejoicing.
And now she's going to go and have a bath.
Keep it off a bit. No, everyone.
Oh, dear, you look a bit hacked off. What's the matter? What's the matter?
Usual carnival stuff.
Why are you looking hacked off, then?
Because it's the usual carnival stuff.
Come on, Isabella, I've got to get on with the show.
Yeah, I've heard it so many times, haven't I?
Have you? Okay. No, you haven't. You've never been to them. I always used to do those meetings.
No, I've done them.
No, you haven't.
I've never done them.
No, you haven't.
Out the door, goodbye. Thank you. Door, shut. Shut the door. Anyway, as I was saying.
No, you haven't. Yes, you have.
Well, I've drunk too much Coke.
No, you haven't.
What?
Oh, that's better. Oh, dear. Sorry, I drunk too much.
You're out of the name,
man. Isabella.
It got... What do you mean Isabella? She's long gone. Yes, anyway, like I said, joining Sunshine Radio, do radio show. I've got to actually... Sorry, I drank too much coke. I've got to record my first few shows because I have not got time to turn up at a radio studio and do a live show at a specific time because I'm too busy until probably about October. So I'll be recording shows, probably, you know, when I go home from work or something like that. So we'll work it out. The show's only about an hour long, so it's not exactly the most difficult thing to do. It's not like talking non-stop like I've been doing this.
Put on 1 hour-long piece of music.
No, so that's what's happening. That's a new thing. Debbie Melrose, I'm hoping, will join me for when it comes to doing some live shows. They quite like the idea of having you'll have two people. Until they hear us speak, of course, I might change them. I'm only joking, Debbie.
Yeah, giggle quite a lot.
Well, if they don't like your giggle, they can kick you off the show, I suppose. Anyway, right, let's go.
Master?
Oh, no, I nearly got away with it. Yes?
I have placed a screenshot of the event-based entry from the schedule for next week's Con GT.
Oh, thank you.
On Facebook group. I did have to get Eddie to change the wording, because it's now listed as the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast recording. He kept insisting on making it the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast taping. And does anyone see any tape? Are you taping this?
Oh,
I'm sure not taping.
Right. Well, I've got one of duct tape here.
I reckon there should be fines for people being overly pedantic. What do you think,
Kevin?
Yes,
I agree.
Anyway, right, so we're going to talk about, I didn't even say that probably, we're going to talk, oh for God's sake, the dog has just barged his way in.
God's sake. Hi, magic.
Going to talk about the Macra Terror. Did you say something, Andy?
I said which dog, then Debbie came and said it was magic.
Star's a
lady.
Yeah, Star doesn't barge away into rooms, magic does. In fact, magic barges his way in and out of rooms, actually. If he sees a cat in the back garden, he barges his way out of the door. He's worked a way of actually opening the back door, even though it opens inwards. He knows that if he bounces on it, it'll open. He's very very uncouth.
Clever dog.
No, just uncouth. Right then, so the Macra Terror begins with some very sort of...
The claw.
No, it begins with sort of some weird music.
It's awful. The drum majorette's music,
Yeah.
Very Sergeant Pepper sort of type clothing.
For the Brits, how many of you thought Heidi High?
Howdy ho.
The music reminded me of the intermission bit in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
I wish that footage still existed for this, because I'd love to see how crazy this was. Seems just the still pictures, it looks bonkers
anyway. It was bonkers was the word that sprang to mind.
Very Sergeant Pepper, the costumes and stuff. Well, I don't think Sergeant Pepper was actually out the time this particular story was released, although somebody might correct me on that one. Anyway, the TARDIS arrives, and Jamie, Polly and Ben and the Doctor head or get caught up in the eviction of MEDOK. Now, MEDOK, wasn't he in the Carnival of Monsters? Or am I misreading what he looked like?
Right, okay, everybody's gone quiet. I've just got a message.
You don't know?
Everybody's gone quiet, so... What?
I don't know. MEDOK is Terrence Lodge.
Yeah. Karen what? Karen? It's a bloke, isn't it?
Terrence.
Oh, sorry.
Terrence.
Yeah, you quite clearly said Terrence there,
I do apologise. Anyway, right, move on. Yeah, so have a look then, Kirby. You like your Wikipedia.
For me to say something wrong.
You like your Wikipedia. Have a look, see what he was in. He must have been another Doctor Who somewhere along the line.
The Wikipedia doesn't have a link for him.
Oh, well, maybe he's not who I thought he was. Anyway, so they sort of arrive, and it appears to be quite...
Sergeant Pepper came up just...
Hello, Chair's back.
Anyway, right. Sorry, Kerry, I couldn't hear a word you were saying, but yes, stop looking. Yes, don't look at Wikipedia, because we can't understand what you're saying. That shut him up, didn't it? So this place that they arrive on appears to be like a sort of fun holiday camp, doesn't it? So where everything's really hunky-dory and everybody likes each other and likes singing songs, and Polly has her hair changed weirdly, and by the next story it's all grown back again. So I presume that she's they've only given it a wig. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, all we're looking at is pictures, so it could have been a picture of her.
She had extensions.
Yeah.
But she'd already
I'm not saying that she even did have her hair grown back or she had extensions. If they're working with pictures, they're just interchanging them. So we don't know that she actually had longer hair again.
Well, she did, but she can see the longer hair. She arrives with long hair, and then she's got it short.
Yeah, Wikipedia said that she wears extensions up until the refreshing scene.
And you believe Wikipedia?
Well, I'm inclined to believe in this case.
I believe them too.
Short hair.
The hairstyle she had was very twiggy. The hairstyle she had was very twiggy.
Yeah, it was lovely. I like it.
Yeah, go on then.
Terrence Lodge has been in, I thought the name was familiar. He's been in 3 Doctor Who stories. His first one was this one. Then he was one of the blue-headed people in Carnival of Monsters.
Oh, I told you it was. He wasn't in any other Doctor Who stories. I told you he was.
Well, Wikipedia was wrong.
Yes.
That's why I was questioning using Wikipedia as a source. And he was also in Planet of the Spiders.
Yes, he was one of the taken over people.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. See, I was right again. You're
always right, Master.
Yes. So anyway, Ben Polly.
When you're wrong.
Ben Polly and the Doctor sort of enjoy some of their treatments at this particular sort of weird holiday camp, I suppose you'd call it.
I want to know what a sparkling effervescent spray was.
I'm sure
it's a spray that's sparkling effervescent, obviously.
Yeah,
I know what it actually did for you, rather than
it exfoliates your skin, Debbie.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. There's this picture that keeps coming up on the TV screen. It's just basically a photograph with the voice behind it, which obviously, when you're watching a production which is just stills, it's difficult to imagine that it is just a photo until you see it's the same picture on every single time you see it. So it took a bit of time to get used to that. And we meet a couple of people. There's lots of guards in this particular story.
Yes.
yeah. So if you want to get a job there, obviously you get a job as a guard, because obviously quite...
Or a drum majorette.
Oh, yeah. The happiness patrol.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Yes.
Just imagine it. Any of the jobs I've been at when we've caught somebody being a bit shoplifty or something like that, and you shout "God!" It just never happens, does it? When do you have to shout in real life for a guard?
I'm sorry, but when I worked in the post office, which was in the co-op, on Powers Week,
did you shout "guard"?
One of the most decrepit security guards I've ever encountered. Yeah. If someone had actually caused trouble, he probably would have had a heart attack.
But did you have to shout "guard" at any point, June?
Guards!
God. So that was episode one. Basically, episode one finishes with the macro at the end of the thing that nobody believes in. Nobody believes in these.
Well, there's no macros. Such thing.
They're
as
not macro. Allowed to.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Apart from the Doctor.
I find it quite odd, though, the way that Control reacted every time, like hyperventilatingly scared that something was going to happen, whereas you would have thought to keep it calm, keep his tone level calm. There's no such thing as macro. Instead of "there's no such thing as macro," you know, it's just.
But you saw what was happening to him when we finally got to see him for real. I mean, if he was under attack like that all the time, yeah, I'd be talking like that.
I thought it was one of the macro who was talking in the end.
Yeah, it's one of the it's that macro at the very end who's talking.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't have shown the controller, would you? You would have just gone,
yeah.
Okay, well, all right. Well, the picture's the picture, but we're not going to show you a macroclaw attacking.
Also, they're not allowed out, and the doctor finds MEDOC, and they sort of get arrested by some guards, and then they all have to go for a little snooze, don't they? And while they're having a snooze, I have to say that Polly looks particularly pretty while snoozing. Yes.
The name of that guy, you could almost hear the doctor saying it, going, "Me, Doc, you patient."
Oh, God, that's awful. I think you deduct a point, and that's dreadful.
Deduct a point. Thanks for reminding me to get my jingles folder open. I just hold it there while I find my jingles folder. I'm not going to play any rim shots or anything like that. It just reminded me to get the... No, it's not worth it. It was terrible, wasn't it, Debbie?
Yes.
Right. Sorry, just talk amongst yourselves while I prepare my... What on earth was
amongst
that?
Amongst yourselves.
Rhubarb.
Mary, can you tell them to shut up? Right. Yes, like I say, Polly looks particularly cute when she's asleep. And while they're asleep, of course, they're getting their minds sort of taken over by, you know, the world of this sort of place.
Jamie's so thick he can't actually take it in. Yeah. You know, it doesn't say a lot of Jamie.
Well,
the fact that, you know, he's... Yeah,
Polly must be pretty stupid as well, because she doesn't either.
I think it's quite interesting the way that Ben responds to it, because he's almost conditioned anyway as being a sailor. To taking orders.
Very good.
It just seems that he has more of the mindset that's been trained to orders. But Jamie has just got the wildness of the Highlands in him and won't take any of that shit.
I didn't take any of it.
Excellent.
I did a swear, I do apologise.
You did what?
What's your explanation for Polly not taking it in?
The doctor got to it and turned it off in time.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Ben sorted her out first, didn't he?
He what?
Yeah. What? He did what?
You dirty people.
I didn't say anything, you said it.
Stop it. Yeah, he got there first to Polly and he's busy explaining it to Polly and then he's like, oh no, Ben and Jamie!
Mary's sulking now because you've taken her job away for that particular. Yes, Kirby.
Two years before this story.
What's that? 22 years. That's a long time.
Two years before this story, people saw a story of Steed and Emma Peel going through a similar situation. Where they go to sleep at basically a school and get hypnotized, or at least Emma Peel does. It was an episode called The Masterminds by, what was his name? Another Doctor Who writer, Robert Banks Stewart.
The late Robert Banks Stewart.
Yes. So I'm wondering if that influenced this one.
Maybe so. So, like I say, the doctor wakes them all up, but unfortunately Ben has just gone a little bit too far and he is taken over by the control thing. Is that what takes him over?
Control, yeah.
Interesting, though, that Pilot is played by another very well-known British actor, and he was in the Android Atara, will be later on. He was in a few other Doctor Who stories as well.
Peter Jeffrey.
Yeah, well-known face on British TV. Isn't he, Deb?
Yes, he is.
Thank you very much. Ben becomes one of them. Well, not in that. Not
yeah,
that
I haven't seen the Androids of Tara yet. I need to see it one of these years. Well, eventually I will.
You will.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Don't worry. You and I have a lot to see.
Thank you.
Haven't seen yet.
Yes.
He and Polly sort of stumble across a macro. He rescues Polly from the macro, but immediately denies that it existed.
Yes, it's like, have you noticed the way he speaks quite poshly when he's under control?
Yeah.
And then he's back to being old Ben when he's not under control.
Yeah. Anyway, so obviously at some point they show control as an old bloke.
Being killed by a macro.
Yes.
Which is a bit weird.
Yeah. It's just being attacked by a macro, you know.
Mm. There's no such thing.
You do like doing those death row noises, don't you?
I thought it was brilliant.
What, your death row noises?
No, I like doing them anyway.
No. So, yeah.
It's Monty Python influence all the way.
So, Medoc and the Doctor and Polly, and Jamie sort of get themselves in a bit of trouble and end up getting
damp pit.
They what?
Damp pit.
Well, not quite at this stage. They get locked in a little room, But the Doctor sort of tries to sort of add it. Well, it is the pit, but they're not quite in the pit, are they? They're in the sort of control room of the pit. And the Doctor tries to...
He
tries to sort of put his influence over the bloke, or what's his name? He was in the post office tower thing. Oh, what's his name? Pardon?
Officia. He's called Officia.
Yeah, but he wasn't... But there's only a few episodes since he was in the post office tower. Pardon?
John Harvey.
Oh, John Harvey. Yes.
He was in the tower, wasn't he?
He was in the post office tower, yes. He was in charge of Wotan. So interesting that Ben Polly and Lee were all sort of so close together in stories. A very noticeable sort of actor, really, isn't he? I would have thought that even in those days, some people who watched Doctor Who might have remembered him. No? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Whatever.
Thank you, Mary. That's the attitude I'm looking for. They get split up, don't they? Because Jamie and MeDoc,
they pick the keys off of Fisher after he gets.
But they go down and find this sort of shaft. What was it, a disused shaft or something like that? And MeDoc gets done in, rather.
Yeah.
Rather,
yes,
sort of.
He does.
But it was a bit weird. He's suddenly dead. What actually happened to him? Did he get overcome by the gas?
Better.
Did he get overcome by the gas?
Well, the gas is overcoming them.
I thought it was the macro had got him, because that was before the gas.
Oh, I see.
Mm. It was just before they started filtering the gas through.
Okay, so we don't. It's unseen.
I thought they were home dry, and then the gas. MeDoc gets killed, and then the gas starts.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the text here says MeDoc calls after Jamie, but is soon silenced by a huge claw that grips his throat and drags him to the ground. So it is a macro. Well done, Debbie.
Yeah, send them in
the macro.
Either way, you're a bit screwed.
Beg your pardon? I do apologise, listeners. Debbie is obviously on some sort of innuendo form this evening. Yeah, who said
when
master?
Sorry.
When I was looking up the Sergeant Pepper's stuff.
That's what she said.
When I was looking at Sergeant Pepper's stuff, did you mention Gerton Klauber?
Who?
The actor who played Ola?
No.
He was also the galley master in the Romans.
Was he?
But I thought he looked familiar because he also played King George III in Blackadder III.
Did he?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I wanted to marry Rose Bush. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well done, Kirby.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, that's where he's from.
Yeah, right. So Jamie gets caught in the sort of shaft, and of course they pump loads of gas into. I thought he lasted out quite well. I thought
he was very resilient.
He was very resilient to this.
Yeah, he didn't seem at all affected.
No. And there was an instance in which Ben sort of slightly forgets that he's taken over and doesn't give somebody away, doesn't it?
He saw Jamie take the keys.
That's right, and he didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the real Ben coming through, you know, fighting the brainwash.
And the Doctor knows this. And
how are you feeling now, Ben? I thought the Doctor was amazing in this.
It was a really good cliffhanger, actually, that the fact that, you know, Jamie's, even though they did draw it out for about 5 minutes, that Jamie's sort of in this situation. I didn't know how he was going to get out of that. And I love that experience with Doctor Who. Obviously, when you watch a story, you know how things turn out. So this is the first time in a while, even though I probably listened to this story, I couldn't remember how Jamie got out of that particular situation. So that was good fun. That was the end of episode 2. Episode 3.
Episode
3,
yeah.
Yep. Episode 4. If we can find it, here it is.
Lots of playing with dials in this episode, wasn't
it? Yes.
Yeah, the Doctor and Polly fight. Stop. My voice is coming back to me. The Doctor and Polly fiddle around with some knobs.
Who were missing?
And some valves and send gas in or out of the shaft, which obviously gives Jamie a little bit of time to breathe before Officia switches it back the other way and starts doing him in again. But Jamie gets out and then pretends that he stumbles upon this little choir. That's what I'm going to call it. Sort of choir, and tries to make out that he's going to join it and sing. And but unfortunately, Ben gives him away.
Is it It's called the Highland Fling because you fling yourself out of the door.
Oh, very good. Yeah, so, but again, Ben gives away. I have to say, it's Craze. What's his first name?
Michael
Craze. In this, he was brilliant in this story. He really was. Even though it's only stills, you can see he's really acting his heart out. Absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to miss Ben and Polly.
I'm going to miss Ben. I love Annika Wills anyway. I don't think she was a very rounded character in the whole of her time in Doctor Who. And I don't think she ever got a chance to play her character like Michael Craze got to play Ben in this story, to show that they could actually act. But I do like them as characters, and I will miss them. So he's trying to fight it. He does give Jamie away, sadly. And then at this point, Pilot starts getting taken over by Ola, which is a girl's name. It's a bit weird. The Doctor finds a macro, that one macro in the room that you can see is actually Control, who's controlling everything, and tries to then... And he takes Pilot along to see for himself, so that convinces Pilot.
And the Controller, meanwhile, is getting more and more frantic.
Yeah. And Ola is getting more and more sort of... dictatorial. But in the end, Ben's suddenly, they're actually locked in, they're getting gassed out, and they're just about to die. They've got 4 minutes before they die, and Ben comes to the rescue. And I thought it was quite a good writing, actually, because I've forgotten about Ben at that particular point, and thinking again, how they're going to get out of this situation. And of course, they time it perfectly for Ben to be sort of cured and to help them out of the situation. And so once out, they were able to gain control of the control, sort of kill the macro, and they all live happily ever after, essentially.
No, it seemed to finish rather quickly.
It did finish rather quickly.
You saw, do the levers for gas, then suddenly, next thing you know, it's I think it's like, was there a piece missing? As you thought that, quite seriously.
There was a fairly abrupt ending. But on the whole, I thought it was really, really good. I quite enjoyed this story. I didn't think it would be that good, because it was obviously very studio based and quite claustrophobic in some ways, but it ticked along really, really well, and there's some good performances throughout. I just really liked it. It was one of the best ones so far from the Troughton era. And what did you think then, Mrs. Melrose?
I watched it sort of one evening and had one episode, then another and another and another. And I rather than sort of all in one go, which has been what I've been doing quite a lot recently, I thought it was really enjoyable. I really enjoyed the cliffhangers, and I enjoyed the way that even the supporting cast, even though obviously it was just stills, were really acting. They were really, really into their characters. And I just thought, this is a really good little story. It felt like a little story compared to some of the ones we've had. There wasn't so much involved. It just felt like a little sort of side adventure. So it was good. It was good to just get to see Jamie and Polly and Ben interacting with the Doctor a lot more in this one, rather than the Doctor being off and Polly was with him pretty much the whole time. I really, really would have liked to have seen this properly, because it was so, it was fun and a bit silly.
It was a bit silly.
But it was classic Who, and I enjoyed it because Sir Patrick Troughton's amazing. So
did you call him Sir Patrick Troughton?
No, I said because Patrick Troughton's amazing. No, but my computer dinged that I hadn't won something on eBay. So
one of the, I don't know whether it was you, Debbie, or someone else, must have said something that sounded like "Hey Siri," because it set off my Siri and said, "You were saying," in the middle of that. Like, don't you were saying?
Like Siri. Hey Siri.
Because I said like, "Hey Siri," and it said it. Okay, what do you think of it then, Andy?
I think it's very unevenly paced. I mean, the first two episodes really were frankly quite boring. Not a lot happened. I mean, it doesn't help the fact that it is a recon, so you think it's difficult to follow in the first place. But then episode three really speeded up and things started happening. And then, as I said earlier, it just suddenly, it didn't come to an end, it just suddenly stopped. You know, it sort of, there's a, bend to the, push the two lever, push the buttons, then push the lever. Next thing you see is the they're happy and singing and dancing. It's like, was a piece taken out? Was it edited out and missing? Because it just suddenly came to an end. It's very odd. So it's I'd like to see if it came back as full footage. I think the problem is, because it's a recon, it's difficult to follow. Some of the dialogue I found difficult to understand. I was watching the Loose Cannon one, mate of mine copied it for me. Lot going on there, but you don't really understand what the Macra are. They're still really unknown, you know, how they get there, what are they trying to do. So there's a lot of unexplained stuff. So a bit hit and miss, I think.
Okay. Kirby?
Did anyone else have trouble hearing him the last few seconds?
Who?
No.
Oh.
You listened too slowly. Told you this last week.
No, it was like it was just getting garbled. Anyway, I enjoyed this. What?
I said, that's the way he talks.
Right. Now, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this a lot better than I expected. I had done some research ahead of time on it and found out that it was similar to that one Avengers episode. So I rented the Avengers, one of the Avengers DVDs from Netflix, and found that as well. It's very same concept, the sleep hypnosis stuff, just no giant crab monsters. And I really enjoy the fact that that RTD brought them back.
Kind of devolved, though, weren't they?
Kind of devolved, but still, it was just this lovely nod to the classic series. And I knew it at the time, because it was all over the place, that they were the nod to the classic, but had, again, knew nothing about the story. But the story was, I enjoyed it. I can't say much more than that.
Thank you.
Yes? Did anyone notice that the character of Chicky changed actresses between the episode and the fourth episode?
Yes, yeah. Apparently she got released to go to do another job.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't notice that. Well done, Kirby. Oh, wow, that's a... Right. Oh, yes. Sorry, Neil, you've forgotten someone, didn't I?
Yes, listeners,
brace yourselves. It's Mary.
Well, I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I go into each one of the stories that is, you know, essentially lost except for the soundtrack. So we have to look at still pictures. I look each time, it's like, oh my God, you know, this one's going to be the boring one. The funny thing is that thank goodness for the soundtracks, so much of the acting we hear through their voices, so that the pictures do really seem to come alive for me as I'm watching. And this one, because the acting and the voices was so good, kept me going all the way through. But I do have a confession to make.
Ooh.
Is that I realized, just sitting down to do this, I never saw the fourth episode. I watched them like one at a time, and then I was going to watch the last one just before we recorded.
That's what I did, and I fell asleep afterwards.
And then you fall off the recording, and I've completely forgotten that I never saw the last
episode. Oh, so you don't know how it ends.
So I'm listening to how you guys talk about it. It's like, oh my gosh, I never saw it. But one thing I did find out in doing some of the research I did, which I like to know about the era that things are done in, is that this time in the 60s, there was a huge preoccupation with psychology and what influences the brain and all that. So this is part of a whole bunch of things that were being written and broadcast and even movies made, like The Manchurian Candidate, and all this stuff about brainwashing was very popular. In fact, in England at the time, it was illegal to have jingles on the broadcast on the TV to promote anything, because it was suspected that jingles were a form of brainwashing.
Mm.
So this thing is, so that is an influence in this too, in that it was written to put in all these happy jingles because it was thought to be a form of brainwashing. So that's in this story. So I thought that was real interesting. And one thing that I really enjoyed, the little bit of footage that we did get to see, apparently it was taken out by the Australians, was was Ben's attack on the Macra.
Oh yeah, that was
trying to say poor Paul. I mean, it was the most feckless attack I think I've ever seen, except maybe Barbara when she was going after those brains in the glass things. You know, that swinging into the air and not really hitting anything. That's what it's
like. There were some there were some screen of films done. You know, shots of the. No video of, I don't know what they call it. What they know when they film the screen of the TV, there were some of that in the story as well.
Oh yeah,
Master.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll wait until Mary's done.
I'm done. I did enjoy it.
My goodness. Like Stormageddon, by the way. He was sitting like wriggling away because he watched it with me as well. What do you think of Stormy?
Don't make him cry.
Anything to say? Hello. No, he's gone quiet now.
I like the fact that he can hold his own bottle now.
Yeah, no, that's quite impressive, yes.
Yes, and Daddy can do the same thing sometimes, can't you, Daddy?
Yeah. Thank you,
yes. Very anyway.
Yes. He's already had a go at holding a pint pot.
Now, in some of the other research I did on this, Ian Stuart Black, the writer of this one, his best friends was Patrick McGoohan. And it's theorized that he went on from this and helped formulate some of the prisoner stories, which are similar in their brainwashing.
Yeah, again, the brainwashing theme, yeah.
Okay.
Very popular at the time.
Very good. Okay, so I suppose we should move on to feedback. Notice I paused there to allow you to do that ridiculous noise. All right, first bit of feedback comes from Ashley Hughes, who says, "Hi, it's Ashley Hughes. Got a few questions to ask. Don't know if these questions have been answered. If Hartnell didn't have his health problems, do you think he would have continued on, and how long?" Well, I would guess yes, he would have continued on, and I probably think he would have stopped around the 1974 mark. So because that's when he died. That's what I'm guessing, anyway.
Weren't they actually trying to ease him out of the show, though, already?
Only because he was ill. I think if he hadn't been ill, as Astrid's saying, if he'd been healthy and carried on, he would have carried. They wouldn't have changed the actor. I think he was well established in the part.
He absolutely loved doing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think he would have stayed on if he'd been fit and well. Myself. Anybody else want to add to that question?
How long would have stayed on for? Maybe a couple more seasons, series.
Season series. Well, if he'd been well, I think he would have stayed on for several season series.
Mm. And then the whole thing would have been cancelled because they would have never come up with the concept of regeneration.
I think they probably would have.
And we wouldn't, in that universe, we wouldn't be sitting here in front of our computers talking with each other.
Maybe not.
How true.
Okay. His next question is, when Doctor Who finished in 1989, do you think it could have gone on?
I think it had gone to a natural end.
But
I think people weren't watching it.
But
I think it had run its course at the time.
But the fact that, as Andrew Cartmore has alluded to, it was called the Cartmore Master Plan, wasn't it? That we never got to see that series, but it is available in a big finish formula.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it maybe could have done another series. And I think the fans could have kept it alive to a certain degree. I think the BBC were a bit, you know, stupid, take it off. But they did. And maybe, you know, if they hadn't taken it off when they did, it wouldn't have actually come back at all at some point. I don't know. The next thing was, if the show wasn't brought back, do you think they would have done a 50th anniversary special? No, they would have done a 50th anniversary compilation.
If it wasn't brought back, no.
You know, would have got a few of the actors back to chat about the classic series.
Mm.
But they did do that every 10 years or so anyway. And finally, what...
We would have gotten another Dimensions in Time.
Oh, no,
please,
I don't think
so. No.
Finally, what classic monsters would you like to see back in the new series? No, I'm going to let you deal with that one, everybody else, because I've got to think about that one. Because I think they've all been back, haven't they?
I'd like to see Draconians back. Draconians we hardly seen at all.
Well, they've only been in one story.
Very good.
one story in that.
Mm-hmm. And I'd a few I'd like to see back, but I'd like to see a really cracking new one.
Yes.
Yeah. What, like a big new concept. Like,
oh, you missed my joke then. You talked over it. Right, going to get point deductive for that. Right, where's the there we go. Point deductive for Debbie for talking over my joke.
Go on. I didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I'll let you off then. No. Hey, Kirby. You carry on, yeah, sorry. Everybody's thinking now, which monster would I like to have back in Doctor Who?
Yeah, I am trying to think of one that I would like to have back.
The Rani. She's not a monster, though. No, maybe not the Rani, then.
Ah, but she's good.
Character?
What's the word? Yeah, character.
Vervoids.
What's the word, you know, when someone's sort of bouncing off each other, verbally sparring and, you know...
Yeah, the trouble is the Rani.
I can't remember what the word is.
It would have to be a different actress, so it wouldn't be the same person.
The Rani is too like Missy. The Vervoids like to see how they would. Hang on, Mum's speaking now, you naughty person. Be quiet. Oh, shut up.
No, very good.
No, I think it'd be interesting how rude the Vervoids looked. I'd love to see how they reimagined the Vervoids.
Yes, they were a bit interesting.
Rude, yes.
War machines would be quite interesting, having Bontar back in this day and age.
No.
Okay, right. Stormy's about to go to bed. I think he's about to put to bed.
Good night.
Bye bye,
Stormageddon.
Bye bye bye. Say bye bye.
Bye, Storm.
Bye bye. Come on, say goodbye. No.
Family.
No, like, off you, Mummy. Bye bye.
Family of Blood. I'd like to see them back. That'd be quite interesting.
Well, there's one in the mirror. There's one in the mirror and one in the scarecrow and things like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Those clockwork. Clockwork.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah, the clockwork.
Yeah,
They've had them back once, but I'd like to see them back again. really, it's awkward, isn't it?
It's really difficult, thanks, Ashley. We're going to be thinking about this all night.
We are.
Yeah, I need to think about this.
Yeah, we'll think about it. But anyway, thank you, Ashley. That's got us thinking. That's probably, considering that was quite a short bit of feedback, actually took us longest to actually respond to it. The next one is Mr. Billy Kirkbright, and he's actually sent in audio. Novel.
Hello there, all you lovely people out in 20 megabyte land. How are you doing? Okay, we've got the Macra Terror by Ian Stewart Black. Again, being from the black and white era of Doctor Who, this is one of the many stories I have not seen from that era, so this is the first time that I've seen it. Okay, and during episode one, I found myself falling asleep. three times, in fact. I thought, here we go, another laborious effort of endurance of watching another boring story of Doctor Who. But I'm glad I stuck with it, because during episode two, my opinion started to change. I actually found that it did start to pick up a little bit, in fact, particularly when Ben was falling victim to the conditioning of the Macra.
Yes.
And what a great job that Michael Kreese did.
Thank you very much,
in
Billy.
Acting that part out, I thought. I thought under the influence of the Macra, his presentation completely changed. His voice even changed, I thought.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What a great job. In fact, I'll go as far as saying that in this story, I think Ben stood out massively, more so than Patrick Troughton, in my opinion. Yeah, great stuff, Michael Kreese. Great idea by Stuart Black, I beg your pardon, Ian Stewart Black, with the story giving the notion that the various types of species need a different environment in which to survive, and this, of course, meaning that the lethal gas to humans was, of course, vital to the Macra, and a great plot idea in the Macra exploiting the humans to acquire it. Great stuff. Just a shame, I thought, that the Macra weren't seen a great deal in this story, or that's the impression I've got, or maybe it's just down to the recon, I don't know. But I thought the Macra didn't look particularly menacing, especially at the end of the first episode in when you know the first time we saw the Macra coming towards Madoc, and I think the Doctor from memory. Yeah, but anyway. But despite that, I found this story neither good or bad. And like again, I don't know whether that's just down to the fact I've only watched the recon. I don't know. If I was to watch the story in its entirety before it was lost, maybe my opinion might change. But at this stage, I wouldn't go out to buy the DVD or bother to watch it again. Okay, but that's my view of the Macra Terror. Take care.
Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Billy. I'm losing track. We are. Oh, got another. This is another bit of audio come through. I'm trying to keep this particular link in the show together.
Yay! The Macra Terror by Ian Stewart Black.
Not Ian Kirk, then.
Hey, who's that? He looks smashing.
Oh, yeah, this is that. Ian Kirk. Well, the companions are asleep. They're persuaded that everything is wonderful, like the keys of Marinus. Happiness by force if necessary, like the Happiness Patrol.
Mm.
We have mistreated miners again, second time in a row. The monsters crawl about. By coincidence, the weather has created large increases in the number of spiders in the Australian city of Sydney. The people of Sydney are not being brainwashed with gas. Perhaps Canberra. Take me to the pilot for control.
Take me to the pilot of your soul.
Happy sleepy time, everybody.
Lucky now.
Seeing Kirk, everyone.
Master?
Yep.
Well, he was saying... that we had mistreated minors again. They all look like they were of age.
Oh, God.
You're really putting the effort in tonight, aren't you, Kirby?
Yes.
Ouch.
Right, oh, another bit of feedback, which I'm going to, because I'm getting tired now. Not because of this feedback is particularly boring, but I think...
We're boring you.
I need to allow Debbie Melrose to flex what? Her... Pardon? How'd you go...
What? What?
I need to allow Debbie Melrose to flex her audio bits by reading out the following. What? Yes, the following message.
Oh, you've sent it over. It's just arrived.
Yes.
It went around the world to get a few doors down.
Alan T. Butcher.
Hey.
Hey.
You sent it three times by the looks
of it.
Hang on a minute. Dear 20 megabiters, as ever, last week I managed to foul up my chance to pay tribute to you all with a quick audio appearance, this time by getting caught up last minute with the political awakenings of some local students. So I must now congratulate you on reaching 301 shows, and at last I get to remark upon the wonderfully celebration last week, and the extraordinary behemoth of a special compilation episode also released this week. The 300th really was done totally in the spirit of Adam's very clear vision for the podcast.
I don't know what he means about this.
I think the 20 megabyte family was at the heart of the show from the start. And though the meaning of that family has grown, expanding slowly from the Pearsons to all corners of the globe, tell Kirby I know globes don't have corners, this wider family is still what the show is all about. The compilation show was a great achievement, so many often vivid memories. I was rather on Alicia's side, rather than Adam's in those early days.
Whose side?
His name wrong again, didn't I?
Yes.
Sorry. Pizza. Early days listening, but I have to say my sympathies for Adam grew. I am now, of course, on both their sides. Listening to the show develop over 6 hours plus just reinforced what I have said above. Well done, everyone involved, and thank you so much. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan. Why am I echoing?
Why I can't say your daughter's name right, I do not understand. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Dobby. Yes, yes, Kirby.
Master, I have something to say to Alan.
You do?
Yes. He should not apologize for saying that about a globe, because the goons said in Tales of Old Dartmoor, yes, as governor, I was receiving congratulations from every corner of the circular globe. So if the goons said it, it's fine by me.
Great. Thank you very much. Right, another bit of feedback. This is from Jeff Waddle. He says, T-A-R-D-I-S, time and relative dimensions in space.
I'm having trouble hearing you guys.
I don't care. Right. Next one is from Rick Stevens.
Ooh, lots of feedback.
And Rick says, hi, Adam and the team. Thanks for all the great entertainment over the last 300 episodes. It's like popping in to visit your dysfunctional family once a week. That's supposed to be a compliment. Anywho, competition answer. Now, he said, and he was the only one that wrote in with the original correct answer before I decommissioned the ridiculous question. I don't know who posed it, but his answer was, the Torchwood Institute was founded in 1879 by Queen Victoria to protect the British Empire from an extraterrestrial threat, secure alien technology, and capture the Doctor. Now, that was the most ridiculous. Bearing in mind, listeners, I actually, as I did say on the last episode, the idea of this quiz was to encourage people to write into the show with answers. So what do those donuts do? They give the most ridiculous. They might have well asked, how many breaths did Patrick Troughton breathe during the Macra Terror? I mean, what a stupid question. You should just answer it.
783.
Gee, thanks.
So me and Isabella decided to do an easier question. And lo and behold, we got some answers come through. Anyway, Rick then provided us with the answer to the new question. I said, thanks, Adam, for the sake of the competition. The answer to the new question is T-A-R-D-I-S, time and relative dimension in space.
Correct.
I'm not that blimmin' pedantic, to be fair. Ashley Hughes, he said, TARDIS, time and relative dimension in space. Waiting for Andy to go correct.
Correct.
Scott Erlinson, he says, time and relative dimension in space. Love the show, Adam. And he said, it also says, sent from my Verizon 4G LTE smartphone. That'll make Kirby happy. Billy Kirkbright says, Adam, what do the initials TARDIS stand for? Here's my answer. Time and relative dimension in space. Hope you get lots of entries, Billy. Right. Laurie Nix says, listeners, I'll throw my hat in the ring for the scarf with time and relative dimensions in space.
Wrong.
But really just wanted to let Adam and Isabella know that you have a loyal listener in me, regardless of Kirby's share moments. Congrats on the 300th episode. Well done. Cheers. Laurie Nix from Los Angeles.
I think it's really nice the way that Kirby shares his share moments with us.
Very good. Well, Mac didn't want to play a rim shot there. Sorry. Craig Hansen says, hi, Adam. Time and relative dimensions in space.
Wrong.
Many thanks. And he gives his complete address. A complete address? Why can't I speak properly? Oh, my God. I smacked my mouth.
Oh, you need some Stellar, obviously.
No, you probably do. No, I don't need it. I'll be asleep within seconds of that kind of Stellar. He lives in Yorkshire. That's what I'm going to say. Paul Gobert. Oh, got some audio from Paul Gobert, and this is what it goes like.
Hi there, this is Paul Gobert from Guernsey with my feedback for the Macra Terror. Again, it's unfortunately lost and therefore watched as reconstruction. I'm still having issues with the reconstruction. However, I didn't find this as jarring as some of the others so far. I really quite enjoyed the story. There seemed to be plenty going on, and turning Ben traitor for a while made things rather interesting. Giant crabs don't seem to be the most effective monsters on face value, though. But thank goodness for mind control, eh? Troughton just shines in this episode. Absolutely fantastic. Would it be unfair to say that the 50-year history of the show could be in large part down to him?
Yes.
Could so easily have fallen by the wayside after the loss of a lead actor.
Correct.
Troughton's just fantastic. Before I go, I'd just like to congratulate you on reaching 300 episodes. Well, 301 now with the mini episode. Great fun to listen to and occasionally be part of. Well, that's my lot for this time. Catch you soon.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Andy and Dawn.
No, who's it from?
Dear Uncle Adam, my daddy told me that TARDIS stands for time and relative dimensions in space.
No, he doesn't say that. He does not say that at all. He does not say that, at least it isn't.
His typing skills are amazing.
Yeah, big hug, yeah. Wet kiss, Stormageddon nunny. Sorry, but I appreciate your entry, Stormageddon, but it doesn't qualify. Because essentially, after having appeared on the show in a form of a presenter by sitting on your daddy's lap, it doesn't count. Otherwise, Isabella could enter the quiz. Don't be so silly. Oh. Kirsty Lane, that's nothing to do with the podcast. I'll move on to the next one. Alan Butcher, dear Adam, I have been researching all week and I think I finally have the answer to the scarf question. I finally found it on my notes from when I gave a talk to the class age 11, and there is the answer which I told them at the time, which is time and relative dimension in space. Hope this is correct, Alan T. Butcher. And, oh, there's another one from Alan T. Butcher, which I think Debbie Melrose might read better, because obviously I have a problem with my mouth at the moment that is making me talk like a gibbering wreck. Here we go, Debbie Melrose, more from Alan T. Butcher. Oh, hello, anybody there?
Yeah,
oh, you got that.
Come up.
Beg your pardon, I'm talking about the message I've just sent you.
Yes, I know, it's coming.
Pardon?
There we go. You send it and it takes about 2 minutes delay.
Oh,
I know you're just around the corner, but that's a bit silly. Hello, 20 megabiters. The Macroterra is, of course, a closely studied satire of the, oh God, macroeconomics forces of and the financial industry leeching upon society and lulling the population into false contentment whilst piping the vast majority of the fruits of their labour to an anonymous, exploitative and monstrous elite. Gosh, his lexicon's bigger than mine. Dissidents and whistleblowers are ridiculed and cast out. Whether knowingly or not, truth is covered up by the forces of security and the means of production are turned against the interests of the many to benefit only the few. Gridlock obviously shows a future stage of this process in which a devolved and ever more useless financial sector continues to benefit from societal resources.
Nice one, Alan.
It's the proletariat have been edged into an ever more absurd cycle of self-damaging forms of economic activity. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Brilliant. I'm so glad I sent that one
to
you.
Amazing. Sorry, Alan, if I haven't said anything right.
Yeah. Adam, of course, you do realise there are actually, you know your quiz?
Yes.
There are actually two answers.
Okay. What are the two answers then?
Aerial release developed in style.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. I was going to bring that up.
Too late.
Very good. I wasn't being... No. All I wanted was for people to write in and give an answer to a fairly good and generous competition, which you can in fact win a genuine scarf.
Well, no, we can't.
Like, you know, you can't, but Kirby did. Like Kirby, you got a scarf, didn't you, mate?
Didn't you win some jelly babies as well, Kirby?
Yes, a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it's favouritism, this is.
Well, he won the quiz. Well, the quiz such as it was. So I think it's fair enough.
Did people enjoy my picture of my scarf comparisons?
Yes, it was very good.
It was pretty good, yeah.
That was
you looked a bit like Rapunzel.
I'm a bit confused. I'm a bit confused after I set up the quiz and then sent your address to Lavazzi and then Deb got credit for it. I was a bit confused by that.
Thank you for the package, Debbie. I thought,
I thought that it was Deb's idea.
It was Deb's idea, was it? Thanks, Debbie.
It was not.
How could it possibly be Deb's idea?
Yeah, what about it?
Because she's a future employee.
Yes, be working with them.
I hope so.
Wrong. Right. I'm sorry.
I'm thanking her because she lost the quiz that week.
Oh. Maybe so.
Okay. We can make it that way. I agree with that. We'll make it that way.
So you liked it then, did you? So you liked it? Hello? Are you still there?
Who?
You. So, do you like your scarf then?
Of course he loves his scarf. Can you see how many times he posted about it?
I'm starting to think that, judging by the picture you posted, you didn't actually really need another scarf.
Yes,
of course I did.
Anyway,
I've been apologizing for the incorrect colors of my 1981 scarf for years.
Have you?
Yeah, mine's because, like the one that I wear.
Oh, Debbie's well, the other one.
Yours is probably more correct than that one that I got in 1981.
Probably.
You see, back in 81, we didn't care about the colors. We just
wanted a very long scarf.
You had a very long scarf that was multicolored.
Mm. You have mean, you seen, have you seen the rug that I posted on Facebook a while back, which is the rugs knitted pretty much in the same style and colors?
Yes.
I really want that.
Hang on, I think the dog
is trying
to... Oh,
good, I can hear you guys again. My reception got terrible.
Hang on,
there.
I've got to be quiet, everyone, because I've got to open the door up and let the dog in. I don't want you to waking up the family. So be quiet. Hang on a sec.
You're such an idiot.
Yeah. Talking to himself.
You donut. Sorry, it's just magic being a pain. Okay, right. What we're going to do now is, I said I was going to draw this out of the hat. I have a hat here, and you can hear the pieces of paper. Where
take
I take
a
this?
Picture of the hat.
Oh, the guy.
Where did you get that hat? Where did you get that hat?
Take a picture of it. It's not a Doctor Who hat, you know.
No,
it's just
no,
a
no,
hat.
No, take a picture of the hat so you can put it on Facebook page.
Yes.
So everyone can see it.
With all the paper.
Why isn't that a Doctor Who hat? You should have a fez.
I've got Doctor Who. I've got a fez, actually. I don't know where it is, though.
Yeah, where's your fez?
Yeah, I don't know. I found that while we were clearing the house out. I think it's in the cupboard somewhere. This is a bit absurd, posting a picture of a peak cap, of Southampton Football Club peak cap, to be precise.
How do we know that you're not cheating?
I'm not in the competition. Why would I be cheating?
You must have been bribed.
Pardon?
Yeah.
You must have been bribed.
Show that magic.
Right. Stop flapping your ears.
Okay,
I'm
posting the picture now.
Oh, no, I'm choking.
I've posted the picture now.
Right, hang on.
Waiting to come up.
Just for your benefit, I'm now going to film it. Should we film it?
And yes.
I'm posting the film on Facebook now.
Right then. Right. Oh, hang on. Right. Here's the film. Right. There's the microphone. There's the hat. Inside the hat, we have pieces of paper with names on. I will take, and my hand says lunchbox on it to remind me to take my lunch home with me. I am now unravelling a piece of paper with one hand, which is particularly difficult. And the name on the piece of paper is... Oh, it's Alan Butcher.
Wow!
Yo, well done, Alan. Not Alan T. Butcher, then.
Oh, you shut up!
It could be two Alan, you know, there's somebody else called Alan Butcher.
Right. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
I should have perhaps prepared myself a little bit better by actually writing the names down first, but I fell asleep, as I said earlier on, and I'm slightly behind in my preparations.
So you're asleep right now?
Falling asleep in a podcast, this race.
No, I didn't actually fall asleep, unlike you, I didn't actually fall asleep during the podcast, I actually fell asleep before the podcast. It's a big, big difference there. Right then, so we're going to do, don't put jokers in first, I'm not a joker. Oh, did you know that one we did last week, or last time, the clip one, I really enjoyed that, I might have to do that again at some point.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Once I got the hang of this.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Smith, yeah. Maybe he might be a future presenter of the show, you never know. Right then, Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the question part of this particular proceeding? Pardon? Stop it.
What?
What the hell was that?
That was me playing with my computer.
Well,
I activated something I didn't realize.
With your computer.
Kirby.
Nice tactics there, Debbie, you twit. Right, okay. Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Debbie.
Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Pertwee.
Pardon?
Oh. Ahead of Pertwee. Debbie.
I see a pattern developing here. Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Debbie.
Right. And I'm going to go for Kirby.
Are you?
Well, you're going to lose.
Did you not watch it then, Kirby?
Yes, I did.
Oh, shut up then.
I always am surprised when I do as well as I do.
As soon as you all heard that I didn't watch the last episode, you knew I was.
That was probably some sort of tactic, wasn't it?
You'll do great for three quarters of it. Maybe.
Okay, the first question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
Who had a very good band according to the pilot? I'm very quiet all of a sudden. Doesn't work very well in audio presentations, just like the point there.
Ollie?
I'll give you that because it was a phonetic thing. It was Barney.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I wrote Barley and I meant Barney. Yeah, I remember getting cross at myself.
Yeah.
Mary.
Yes.
What was Ola's job?
She was chief of police.
Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What was the first song we heard over the PA system?
I know.
Actually, they had... Dunkirchen.
Pardon?
Dunkirchen.
Mary, you said you knew.
That was my quote.
Yeah, go on.
Happy to work, happy to play.
No, that's not what I've got, Dan.
Okay.
The first one was ra 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 ra. Thank you, shift. So just we didn't play any jokers on that one. Otherwise, I would have had double points. Right, Andy.
Hello. Yeah.
What treatment did Polly ask for?
Oh, God. It was she wants the shampoo.
Yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Barney think Polly would be elected as?
The next beauty president.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What treatment did the doctor have?
Oh, I know. Yes, I think I know.
You have something called the refreshment or something like that?
No, it wasn't that, actually. Andy?
Was it the clothes reviver?
Mm. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
What machine tones up the muscles?
Rumble machine.
Sorry, that didn't quite come out probably. Say it again.
The rough and tumble machine.
No, just say it like that. It's just you broke up in the middle of the answer.
I'm not broken up.
I'll be quiet. Andy.
Again, yeah, okay, yeah.
What do you mean again? It's your go, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Who was Medoc's old friend?
Was it a Fisher?
Nope. Anybody?
Questa.
Okay, so that's a score update. In joint last place, with 2 points each, it's Mary and Kirby. In third place, with 3 points, is Andy. Oh, no, that's second place. Oh, joint first place with 4 points each is me and Debbie. Right. Debbie.
No, wait a second. What? I answered one correctly first time and then got this another one the so second is, time.
So
after
which, hang on, whoa there, whoa there, whoa there. Right, so your first question you answered correctly was the rah, 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 thank you shift. That wouldn't have been right.
No.
No, okay, so the next one would have been... Hang on, I'm getting confused here. So what was your next question then? Who had the next beauty president one?
No.
Shut up! I'm asking. No, who had the? What did Barley think? Polly would be you. That's Debbie. Right. So the next question would be Mary of the clothes revival.
Nandy got that right.
Yeah, I got the clothes revival. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. Okay, so it was Mary's question. Kirby then should have had the what machine tones up the muscles?
Which I got.
Yeah.
2 points.
All right. Okay. Who is Medoc's old friend? So that was Kirby again.
Yes, that's 1 point.
So you should have three.
So what happened there then?
So I should have three.
So what happened there then?
Yeah, Kirby should have 3 points.
So what happened there? Why didn't he have 3 points? Because he was naughty. Right. Now you have points.
Oh, That explains it. Okay, I'll accept that.
Naughty boy.
Right, I don't know where I am. Hang on. All right, so Tuco was Kirby. So Andy must have this question next. Am I correct with that? Is it Andy's question now?
Okay.
Is that right? Is everybody happy now?
No, Andy already missed his question, so you were going to give us a score update.
Yeah, you're right. The last question, you're quite right.
Right.
Yeah, so you were giving us a score update, and it was incorrect.
Oh, right. So Andy's question... Shut up. Andy's question was Questa, wasn't it? That's why the Questa. Isn't that rather apt? So that was the answer to that last question. The scores, then, at the moment are... In last place, with 2 points, is Mary. In joint second place, with 3 points each, is Kirby and Andy. And the joint leaders, with 4 points each, is me and Debbie. So not that much of a change there, Kirby. All right, Debbie.
Yeah, I moved up
one. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What job does Pete do?
Pete?
Yeah, Pete. What job does Pete do?
Now, there's a dark
I do horse. Hope that there was somebody in it called Pete. Otherwise, the spell checker has changed the name to Pete. So everybody's in the same boat. I'm sticking to the name Pete because that's what it says down here.
Yeah, the name sure doesn't ring a bell with me.
Yeah. Well, you'll probably tell me...
Were you trying to say climate?
Right, the answer is tap and refine gas. Nobody's answering me, so nobody's saying I'm wrong with that one. So, Mary, I'll give myself.
I don't remember a Pete.
Yeah, I don't remember a Pete either.
No, well, don't worry about that. We'll move on. I'm still going to give myself the points because I'm right, and you're wrong. Mary.
I'm not wrong.
We can't say he's wrong.
Nor can I. So we're going to stick to what I said. I was looking at subtitles. Right then, Mary, what may happen?
I didn't have any
subtitles. Shut up, Mary.
I didn't either.
Be quiet.
Neither.
Well, I was watching Loose Cannon Reconstruction had subtitles. Be quiet. Whose go is it?
Who the hell's Pete?
Shut up.
He's the dark horse.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What may happen to people who wander around at night?
Thinking. I don't know.
Go on then, Kirby.
They may be killed.
Interesting, nobody's played a joker yet. Kirby.
I said that. Oh.
I keep forgetting.
It's more complicated than that.
Kirby.
Whose question is it?
This is yours, yes. Your name's Kirby, isn't it?
Master.
Right. What did the doctor admire in the pilot's office?
Don't know. Give it to Debbie.
Go on then, Debbie.
Was it the telescopic viewing machine?
Precisely. Andy.
Hello.
What did the colony's ancestors believe in? No, they didn't believe in flapping ears magic, so...
Did they believe in love?
Careful, you get your point deducted.
Right. I think I know.
Andy's still thinking.
Yeah, I'm looking at your notes and I've got no... I have no idea at all.
Ooh. There we go. Well then, go on then, Debbie.
I'm not sure if this is right. Healthy happiness or health and happiness.
Go on then, I'll give you a point for that. It's not quite what I've got in there, but it's on the right lines. Virtues of healthy happiness.
Oh, okay.
Right, so... Debbie.
I'd say give her both points.
No.
That was right.
It was she can't get 2 points for a second answer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But people who try and butt in and change the rules as I'm playing the game might get points deducted, Kirby.
Sorry. Sorry, Master.
Right, Debbie.
Yes?
What did the doctor find among Polly's belongings while she was sleeping? God's sake.
Find amongst her possessions, what?
Yes.
Wasn't that a piece of wire, was it?
Ooh,
Andy.
Good girl.
Mary, I'll tell you what, at the moment I'm on for a massive points haul soon, because nobody's playing any jokers, so I'm looking forward to the 2, 4, 6, 8 points I'm going to gain because of that soon. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What did the doctor ask Polly that she might... Eh? She might... Oh, yeah, I've written it correctly. I just didn't look right. What did the doctor ask Polly that she might have smelt?
Oh, I know.
Oh, I don't know.
Ooh. But I think Kirby knows.
He does.
A sort of sweet perfume. Ding.
Do you not hear the ding?
Yeah.
You
just like saying ding. We all like saying
Kirby.
Ding.
We like the ding.
In the hospital, what was MeDoc strapped to?
I'm not sure because I was listening to just audio.
Right. Anybody?
I didn't watch some of these because I only had audio.
Okay. Anybody?
Did he have a head thing on?
A head thing on. Right. Andy.
Okay.
The pilot told the doctor...
What was the answer?
What was he strapped to?
Oh, sorry. It was a rotating table. Sorry about that.
Oh, another one of them, eh?
Oh, that. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Andy?
Yep.
The pilot told the doctor that he had destroyed what? Ooh, it's gone very quiet all of a sudden.
Oh, I think I know that one. Okay, destroyed what?
Ooh, it's very, very quiet.
No, I don't know. No. Absolutely no idea.
Well then, Debbie.
Oh, I've got written down nerve wire.
I'll give you that one. It's three nerve circuits. It's near enough, I suppose.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Right then, the score update. In last place with 2 points, it's Mary.
Woohoo!
In fourth place with 3 points, it's Andy. In third place with 9 points. Hang on. With 5 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 9 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 13 points, it's me. Because you lot are rubbish. And I think
yes, we are.
You should all be grateful to me because I'm always at the bottom, making you all...
I bet you are. Debbie.
Yes.
Where have the strangers been... Where were the strangers sent when they had seen the macro?
They were condemned to the danger gang in the pits.
Damn it, danger gang was the Joker. Phrase I was looking for. Yes, you should have done, because it's edging closer and closer to my possession. Mary.
Yes.
What shift were the Doctor, Jamie and Polly put on?
I've got
it
as well, yes.
The danger shift.
That was the previous answer. Go on then, Debbie.
I'm trying.
176 shift.
Yeah, damn.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What would the doctor prefer to a checklist? What would the doctor prefer to a checklist?
I think I know.
What would the doctor prefer to a checklist?
What would he prefer to a checklist?
That's what I said.
Prefer to a checklist? I don't remember that at all.
Andy got in there first.
Go on then, Andy.
He wanted a mask, didn't he?
Yeah. Preferred a mask.
Oh.
God's sake. Andy.
Yeah.
Where did they keep their gas masks?
Oh, yeah, I know.
It was in a cupboard.
In the cupboard under
go
the stairs.
Go on then, Andy. I mean, Debbie, sorry.
It was in their pockets.
Oh, dear. Right, score
take
update then.
Your masks out. They're in your pockets.
In last place with 2 points, it's Mary.
Yay!
In fourth place with 4 points, it's Andy. In third place with 5 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 13 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 16 points, it's me.
But we're lost. We're all lost now.
Yeah.
Next question goes to Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
What did the doctor assume the relative connection was?
I know.
Whoa.
It's not the X to the power of Y is divided into 2. No idea.
Go on then, Andy.
Constant.
Cheers.
Mary.
Yeah.
What mark did the doctor give himself before Pilot discovered him poking around?
I know.
What mark?
Yes.
Haven't any idea.
I'm doing well here. Kirby.
10 out of 10.
Kirby.
Master.
There's going to be a whole stash of points coming my direction soon.
Yes, apparently.
For doing virtually nothing.
It's fixed.
Because you lot are being rubbish and not bothering to play jokers.
We are.
Last reminder. Right, Kirby. Did I say Kirby, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah, right. What did Jamie wear around his neck while escaping through the old shaft?
I don't know. You get the point.
Anybody?
Was it some sort of floral necklace, like a leaf?
It was goggles.
Oh.
Goggles.
All right, Andy.
Yep.
What do willing friends do?
I know.
No idea.
Go on in, Kirby.
They make the task lighter.
Excellent. Finally get somebody with an answer. All right then, Andy. Oh, done, Andy.
No, you've done me. It's not me again.
I suppose I better do a score update with only 6 questions left and nobody having played their jokers yet.
No one has used a joker.
Like I said, mm-hmm. 8 points to me soon. If nobody plays a joker. Right then, Debbie is, in the last place with 2 points, Mary. In 4th place with 5 points, Andy. In 3rd place with 7 points, Kirby. In 2nd place with 13 points, Debbie. And then the lead with 21 points, it's
slimy.
Me.
That's There's no way of winning now.
That's 21 points of you lot getting the answers wrong. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
What did the first dial on the control desk register?
Joker.
Go on then.
Full pressure.
And that also deserves one of these. Okay, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What crumbled from the wall as Jamie tried to escape the macro?
I know.
Since I didn't see it, I don't know.
All right, then go on in, Andy.
Salt.
Kirby.
Master.
What type of dance did Jamie have to deliver?
The Highland Flame. Oh, yes. Joker. I'm sorry. Joker.
Dear.
You said it too late.
No, let him have it.
What difference is it?
Play the Joker who likes. Go on
then. What's the harm? Go ahead.
Go on then. I'll ask the question again then, Kirby. What type of dance did Jamie have to deliver to get into Happy Colony Finals?
Joker, Highland Flame.
What? 4 points to me. Incorrect. Question was, what type of dance did Jamie have to deliver? And the bloke said, you have to deliver a gay and cheerful dance. And then he said about the Highland Fling. Ooh, I'm sorry, you got that one wrong. You didn't listen to the question. You would have done it if you listened to the script. I was half asleep when I was listening to that. Anyway, Andy.
That's more pedantic than I would have been.
Andy.
Okay, right.
I don't know, Kirby.
Andy, what did the doctor think that pilot trusted him? What reason did the doctor think that pilot trusted him?
No, not anything like that at all, no.
Anybody?
Is something to do with he has a kind of trustworthy face?
Well, I'll give you that one. Honest face. That was in the script. I'll give you that one. There's only 2 questions left, and it's a free for all. So you better play your jokers. I don't know why I put my joker next to my name. I haven't got a bloody joker. Right then, are you ready?
You are the joker.
You're funny. Right. What direction did the doctor tell Ben to throw the lever?
Yeah, I know.
Go on then, Andy.
It's away from him. Joker.
I'll let you have that one.
It worked for Kirby.
Okay, and the last question is this. What was the stranger's trophy for?
I know.
Go on, Em.
It was the winner of the dance. Joker.
Right, so with Mary not having played a joker at all, that of course gives me 4 points. Sorry, I just got distracted there. So the final scores are in last place with 2 points. It's Mary.
As always.
Yes. In 4th place with 7 points, it's Kirby. In 3rd place with 12 points is Andy. In 2nd place with 18 points, it's Debbie.
Ooh, good girl.
The winner this week with 31 points is me.
Ooh, yes. We all know that those don't count.
And I forgot to mention, Alan Butcher, if you could email me your address, please.
What about Alan T. Butcher?
Shut up, Andy.
There might be another one
out there. Yeah.
All right. Alan T. Butcher, could you please... Well, there's only no other Alan Butchers entered the competition, so it doesn't matter if there's any others out there. Yeah, so that quiz rather indicated that you lot weren't really paying attention as well as you normally do.
Or it's been a week since we've seen it.
Yeah, I think that was the main thing. I haven't watched it in a week.
Dear, oh dear. But yes, I feel quite gratified with that victory. As they say in that fantastic show, The Cube, contestant defeated. Or contestants defeated. Oh, I actually beat Debbie. I can't believe it. Wow. All right. Debbie only got 18 points.
Is that the first time that Master has... One?
No, it is not. It's the first time I've won by such a categoric amount without having to double my score. I actually should have nominated myself. I didn't realise how rubbish you lot were going to be.
You didn't, yeah.
Mm. Anyway, I think...
Lesson learned.
Indeed. I think we should go on to news. Yes. If anybody's heard of anything on the Facebook page that might be of any interest.
Well, apparently there's...
Yeah, I got a scarf in the mail.
Been chosen...
Can you stop talking over each other? Sorry, Mary.
I said there's been a companion chosen.
Do we know who it is, though?
I suspect it's that actress from EastEnders.
I thought they're saying that the girl who played Capaldi Porter in Fires of Pompeii has been enlisted. Uh-huh. Okay.
No, don't know who she is. And I don't recognise her from EastEnders.
Shabnam Masood was the character in EastEnders.
Not the one who was in Fires of Bombay.
No, that's not right. There's now word that there's somebody else. I'm just putting out Who News to
but
see.
But is this the original Shabnam or the new one? Because there's two Shabnams. They've replaced the actors in they're always doing it in EastEnders. Always placed.
I'm assuming it would if it's her, it's the new one. Because they kind of shuffled her out of the show in a hurry.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now, I don't know if we spoke about this on the Spoked. God, that's good English. on the previous show, the BBC shop is to close.
Yes, I'd seen that.
But they've got the lots BBC of bargains shop? On, apparently. Yeah.
The online shop?
Yeah. Mm. Don't quite understand why, especially as quite recently they've been advertising things. I think even Peter Capaldi, when he was on Lorraine, said, oh, you can buy the new series from the BBC shop. And now they're shutting.
Why?
Why? I don't know. It's a BBC cutbacks, I suppose.
Well, I bought the new series through when it was on. I bought it through iTunes.
You can get an 11th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver for $4.99. Mm. Yeah. You can get Doctor Who The Complete David Tennant Years for $19.99. Mm. Is that a DVD? Oh, that's interesting. And Blu-ray. If it's Blu-ray, I'm buying it for blooming 20 quid. No, it's DVD. I'm actually going to have a look, see what they've got. This is news. The BBC store closing there with lots of bargains available.
Yeah, you think that would be a money making?
Things starting at 99p, Mary.
For what?
Well, you can get a Sherlock A1 poster for 99p.
Oh.
Top Gear Stig wins pin badge for 99p. You get the Doctor Who Series 3 figure Lazio for 99p. A BBC black metal key ring. Well, that's quite cool for 99p. A Sherlock Blu-ray,
£4.99. Wow, these are bargains.
Luther Series 1 and 2 on DVD for £2.99. Mm. Thank you for that. Ninth Doctor Anniversary mug for £1.49. I don't really know what I think they should do at whoone.co.uk. Just buy all this lot up and sell it in the shop at a massive profit.
Yeah.
This is lower than wholesale prices.
Is it whoone.co.uk?
It is. Call the midwife the DVD collection for £4.99. That's a bargain. I could be tempted, you know. Third Doctor Anniversary Month for £1.49. The Doctor Who, the 10 Christmas Specials Limited Edition Box Set, £8.99. What else we got here that's Doctor Who? Second Doctor Anniversary Mug, £1.49. I know Debbie's looking at this website as we speak. She's gone very, very quiet. Doctor Who Series 8 BBC Shop Exclusive.
I'm saving up £12.99. For my convention I'm going to.
Oh, yeah? Or is that the one that I'm going to?
No. Is that in the States?
No, because I'm having to stay here and record.
11th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver, £4.99. I've mentioned this.
Although I have kind of pledged that I will be going next year, so the jar is already filling up with pennies.
Nah.
A great huge bottle that's filling up with coppers.
Wonders of the Solar System on Blu-ray for £2.99.
I've already got that on my computer.
Is that a Brian Cox
thing? It is a Professor Brian Cox, yeah.
Yes, I could be tempted. £2.99. What's this? Doctor Who Series 7 Part 1 Blu-ray, £2.99.
What?
Yeah, Doctor Who. I just want to say it again. Doctor Who Series 7 Part 1 Blu-ray,
£2.99. What?
You haven't got a Blu-ray player.
What?
Doctor Who.
Are we on loop here?
TARDIS Doom. Shut up. TARDIS Double Duvet and Pillowcase Set. That's a double one for your bed.
I want a king.
Oh, yeah. I've got king size. I've got king size duvet, but a double size bed. But that's £14.99. One of the more expensive items. Doctor Who. The Monster Collection, £1.99. Yes, stop yawning.
Oh. Sorry.
Strictly Come Dancing T-shirt,
£1.99.
Ooh. Doctor Who, here, King Size Duvet, £19.99. It's a TARDIS.
I don't know if TARDIS allow that to be.
We need a new duvet cover.
I need a new one.
That'd be cool. Oh, nice. Deb wouldn't allow
that. Yeah, I get one of those. But if it depends if the door will go for that or not.
It's normally £42.99.
Oh.
Where can we get that from?
The BBC. What have you been talking about? The BBC shop is closing down.
There's a hint there. Hopefully, you're going to say whowon.co.uk. Well,
no. Not unless they buy it and sell it in their shop at a massive profit. Doctor Who Flying TARDIS. This is a bit like a drone, this Flying TARDIS. It's got like, two propellers at the top of it. Looks rather cool, actually. £10.99. A lot of these things I've never seen before. This is what I'm looking through this. Oh, you can get a clanger,
£1.99.
Just
don't drop it.
Oh, well done, Andy. That was well worth one of those.
That was a belter, that one. Yes.
But don't drop it like Kirby normally does.
Clang.
So there you go, it's a BBC shop. Get there quick, because they're shutting soon. And they're literally... now it's changed from... Oh, it says 80% off. DVDs, figures and toys. Anyway, back to news. So I really get slightly diverted there because that was really interesting. Peter Capaldi discusses future. He appeared on a number of programmes yesterday to promote the release of Doctor Who, the complete ninth series on DVD Blu-ray and through the BBC store, during which he also discussed his present and potential future involvement in the show. We talked about that before, actually. The Doctor Who Genesis of the Daleks album used to be like a vinyl album.
I don't need that because I already have the one from 1978.
That's got to be worth some money, Kirby.
I opened it and listened to it back in 1978.
Yeah, I listened to it a while back, but in Alistair Pearson's
actually,
house.
No, I wouldn't have listened to it in 1978 because I had not discovered Doctor Who in 1978. I discovered Doctor Who in 1979.
Peter Capaldi has been talking to the fan show who asked him to draw his Doctor Who life. Like all good artists, he decided to interpret the brief and drew some old doctors. Unofficial Doctor Who book guide. Lego TARDIS at Sydney Royal Easter House. Oh, we saw that, didn't we, Debbie?
We saw
Lego
that,
days.
Didn't we? Yeah.
TARDIS,
and we were knocking
that
on the wrong side.
Bad Wolf Bluetooth speaker. Oh, that looks cool.
It does look very cool. That's very tempting.
I might, yeah. How much is it?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Ooh, I might have to try and... It's my birthday coming up soon.
But for more information, please contact someone.
Ooh. Okay. Essential Doctor Who 7. The makers of Doctor Who magazine have released their latest in the series of bookazines, with a 116-page issue devoted to the Doctor's own race, which is Kirby, it's the Time Lords. Okay.
10 quid.
The Doctor Who project is seeking story proposals to form part of a forthcoming series or season of short stories. Okay.
Just to keep our appetite whetted.
A pickle, pardon. So let's move on to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group that you can join, or even which you can join. I can't remember how I say it now because I'm so tired. So what we're going to do is welcome new members to the group. Haven't done that for a while, have we?
Welcome.
Basically, because I keep forgetting they're here. Okay, oh, Jeff Waddle's back.
Yay!
he's waddled back, has he?
Oh, fun and tides too.
I do apologise for Andy, Jeff. Not for him, about him. Sorry. The last ones, I can't remember. Did we do Hayley Miranda Stuver and Sonia Phillips? Prior to the arrival of Isabella Pearson and Andrew Skilleter? No? Okay, they don't even know who Andrew Skilleter is, so I'm going to jump on. They said Jeff Waddle's back. Chrissy Bates? No? Okay. Nabil Shaban?
Mm-hmm.
And nice. Laurie Nix, who entered the quiz.
Lovely.
So, welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte team of listeners. Apparently,
I know Jeff left because he was kind of generally disgusted.
Getting upset by Andy, yes.
Doctor Who. I wonder what brought him back.
Because we're just brilliant.
Because the new series is finished.
So he missed his family.
We're back to classic stuff. He likes classic Doctor Who.
He does comment some really good things on some of my posts on my page.
I think it's because he's intellectual, like you, Debbie.
I'm not as intellectual as Alan.
No, articulate, that's the word you're looking for. Right, have I forgotten anything?
I'm looking at whoone.co.uk.
Oh, go on, then you do whoone.co.uk.
whoone.co.uk.
They've got something nice.
Oh, really? What's that then?
Latest Doctor Who products. They've got 365 Days of Memorable Moments and Impossible Things by Justin Richards. And there's Who Won, Bessie Number Plate. I'm definitely wanting that.
Oh, yes.
City of Death. Paperback.
He's talking all gooey to them. Who are you talking about gooey to, Andy?
Oh, he's putting him to bed, so we're going to kiss him goodnight, say a prayer over him later.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Aww. Feel warm, warm and soft and, well, may I dare I say, gooey at the moment.
Yeah.
And then you've got the special, the Time Lords that we were talking about just now, Grey Dalek Mug. Very cool. Drosten's Curse, depending on who you listen to. Death of the Daleks, City of Death.
Yes.
Very good. I'm still waiting on my pre-order of the River Song Adventures.
Husbands of River Song, that one.
Yes. And coming soon. Oh, hurry up, you silly machine.
That's the one. I've never heard that one. Oh, hurry up, you silly machine. Who's that by?
Eighth Doctor Death's the latest incarnation of the TARDIS isn't behaving itself. Eighth Doctor Doom Coalition 2 and You Will Obey Me on CDs. Mm-hmm. And then the Churchill Years as well. There's a few more bits have arrived on Who Won. So good. That's cool. The Grey Mug's nice.
I didn't forget talking about Who Won. I did get a message from Billy.
A review of the Doom Coalition on Monday.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Plug. Billy Kirkbright sent me a message saying that he is a customer of Who Won and bought some stuff from Who Won. So it can be done. And he can't live much further away from Who Won and still be a customer. You were talking of Who Won. Oh, you're done there, haven't you?
Yes.
How about your future employees?
Employees?
Employers, the Freudian slip.
Well, I will happily do a day on the stall for him.
Just a day? That's not what you agree. He clearly said all weekend. I'm sure.
He did.
He said all weekend, yeah.
You said all weekend. Oh, there's a rather nice scarf here, Kirby. Very familiar.
Yes.
Yes, and a familiar enough for Alan T. Butcher.
Mm.
And not Alan Butcher. Mm.
The lovely Dalek scarf, the Doctor Who scarf, the Tom Baker burgundy scarf is still in sale. And so is the Fifth Doctor cricket sweater. That's in sale as well. And the umbrella I want's in sale as well. So that's cool. Mm. Which is the TARDIS, I think, on Gallifrey. Oh. And sold out still, the Seventh Doctor question mark umbrella. But as Adam has said a few times, you can get that on other sites.
Yes.
And Audible is still there.
Oh, she's going to go for the Audible one, everyone. Here we go. She's going for the hat trick. Let's see if she can do it without me interrupting her and correcting her. I'm going to sit back and listen to this.
audible.co.uk/20MB. Get on there and choose your free trial book. And I still haven't. Have you, Adam?
Oh, sorry. I haven't. No, sorry. I was just listening. I was just waiting for you to get something wrong.
Oh, sorry. But now I'm just looking through it again this morning going, what am I going to listen to? And I just can't decide. So
I think listeners, what she was alluding to was if you go to audible.co.uk/20MB.
I got it right.
This is what I get you to say. Yeah, you might have got that bit right. But if you take up a free 30-day trial, you will get, by way of thank you for taking up that free 30-day trial, a free audiobook you can keep forever from a massive range. It doesn't have to be Doctor Who. But
doesn't have to be, does it? No.
And if you decide not to take up the subscription at the end of that period, you still get to keep your audiobooks. It's a really, really good deal. So it's audible.co.uk/20MB.
And how do you spell 20 megabytes?
Shut up,
to get
Kirby.
The steal?
You tell him then. Go on.
20MB.
It's an important question.
I know it is. Join the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group where such detailed bits of information are available for people to see and read. What was that noise? Oi, stop electrocuting yourself. Or somebody squirting themselves with deodorant.
I'm spraying
deodorant.
So a can of electronic duster on my keyboard.
Well, can you do that when we're not recording? Did you have to do it there and then?
We're doing a little housekeeping while we're on
the. Oh,
right, next week we'll be looking at a thing called Concerberus, I believe. No, ConGT. I get it right. ConGT. No, I say Concerberus just to annoy Kirby.
I'm not going to be able to record it properly, so he's going to be panicking a week.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no faith in you, Dave.
Well, you know what you'd have to do, Kirby?
I tend to giggle a lot, so it's not a very trustworthy trait.
You have to do, Kirby, if all things fail, you'll have to record it your end. Or do PCs not have recording facilities on them?
You want me to record? I'm worried about getting things hooked up properly on the stage at this place. And, hey, this is the first time that we're going to be in the main room of a convention.
That's cool, but won't you be attaching a microphone to your computer?
Yes, master.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll just call up Audacity and hit record.
Yeah, well, I'm not being funny. You must have a contingency plan to record what goes on, because you can't guarantee that everybody's internet is going to be working. You can't guarantee Debbie's internet is going to be working. You can't guarantee I'll have a phone signal.
I will see what I can do.
Honestly, it has to be done. When it's an important recording, you have to have a backup plan. And your backup plan,
master,
as delivered by myself, is to record what happens where you are. You will have to present the show in
and
me
to
and
Matthew,
Debbie's
he records
absence.
Up his PC all the time.
Okay. I thought it was fairly obvious. I'm quite surprised I had to explain that to you, really. But anyway, that's been exciting. I just hope that it will work. It'll be quite fascinating being involved in the show if I do have to communicate via Skype on my phone. Hopefully I'll be back home by then and then
you can record if you're back home.
No, Debbie will have my equipment.
He's so
worried. Well, Missy, that's what she said.
Debbie, they're so worried about you.
I know.
I'm
feeling a little insulted now.
Debbie, I wish you into that next week. I'd give you a cuddle.
Oh.
Well, stop being horrible to her, Kirby. She's really quite lovely.
All these men are talking past you like you don't know.
Adam will make sure that I'm savvy with it all and we'll be fine.
Will he now?
I'll try not to giggle.
You have a Mac.
Yes,
it'll be on a Mac. Yes,
that's why I'm worried.
Nothing goes wrong on a Mac.
If you get Adobe Audition, and there's a tutorial somewhere on YouTube that if you download several different pieces of software, you can actually use the relevant tracks on Audition and have Skype as a track, yourself as another track, and you can actually record on the computer with everybody being on different audio tracks, which is quite clever. But but that's because you have to have Adobe Audition. That's available on both platforms, by the way. But it's easier on Mac because it's the software that enables you to have Skype on different channels is available on Mac. But I'm not going to bother with that. I have got Audition, but it's easier for me to record on these microphones. Oh, yes, everybody's gone quiet. Sorry if I'm...
yes, we have.
Yeah. Okay, next week it's Con GT. We won't be reviewing a story next week. We'll be doing Con GT. Okay?
Okay.
So you've got a couple of weeks to watch a six-part story. So you can't complain. And that six-part story is The Faceless Ones.
Hooray!
Sounds wonderful.
Well, we've got three episodes of it, haven't we? And the other three will be reconstructed. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And but we'll say in advance.
Wikipedia says we only have two of the episodes.
Oh, pants.
All right, two episodes.
But you told us not to believe everything Wikipedia says.
No, but see, Kirby was being facetious. He believes everything Wikipedia says. Right. So and until then, thanks for listening to the show. See you again next time. Oh, next week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye, y'all.
services.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.